All right. Amen. If you have it, would you say, I've got it? All right. Amen. Would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's a prayer here in Ephesians chapter 3. I won't read every word, but I value these prayers because it's inspired by God and reveals God's heart and his will to us and for us. And it can be summed up here, I guess, really beginning in verse 17. You know what? I'll back to verse 16, sorry. This is the prayer, verse 16 of Ephesians 3, that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Strengthened by God's Holy Spirit on the inside. Thank God for his power and his strength. And then he goes on, he continues this prayer in verse 17, and he says that Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, may dwell in your hearts through faith. I look at that as, first of all, it's our faith, when we put our faith in Jesus as Lord, that he indwells our heart. But I really believe that Jesus wants to be at home in every area of our lives. And so it takes faith to just say, Jesus, I welcome you. Be Lord of all. So he dwells in your heart by faith. He just makes himself at home in your heart by faith. And then he says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, to really grasp with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height. And then he just says, you know what? I just want you to know the love of Christ that you can't even understand. To know the love of Christ for you, which passes just intellect. It's beyond intellect, but it's not beyond receiving. It's not beyond revelation. And he says, but I want you to have his love, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. There again, you see the strengthened power, love. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This apostle prays the heart of God, saying, I want you to know both the power of God and I want you to know the love of God that he has for you. And I'm telling you, the Bible is not just a book of information. Scripture is practical. It is to be lived. It's truth for living, not just learning. And this, the next sentence, as he continues on, tell us why we need God's love and God's power. The very next verse here, it's different chapters, but think of it as just one letter written to the believers. Chapter 4, verse 1 says this, I therefore, because of God's power and God's love for you, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I'm pleading with you, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. If you know the Lord, he has a calling on your life. It's a high and holy calling. And he says, brothers and sisters, walk worthy of God's call on your life. Verse 2, with all lowliness. Now, that keeps it in balance, doesn't it? He's got a call on your life. It's a high and holy calling, but don't get arrogant. Verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, that means patience, bearing with one another in love. That means putting up with in the Greek. Putting up with, all right? Bearing with one another in love. And then verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Thank God for his power. Thank God for his love. And the message this morning, just real simple, love works. Love works. Would you say that with me? Love works. I started to bring my hard hat. Construction. Love works. And this morning, I want to give you basically two definitions, because there is really a double application of the English word works here. The word works means a task requiring effort. A task requiring effort. That's what it means to work. And so we talk about love works. It's, remember, an action word. If you were here last week, we talked about a different kind of love that was on the New York Life commercial, agape. That's actually God's love in the New Testament. But love works. Love puts forth the effort. It's a task requiring effort. So love works. Think about Jesus and what he did to reach us. Love works. He was working, and even still, he's working. The Bible says, work out the salvation that's in you of what God is working in. He's working in us the desire and power to do his will. He says, work it out. So love works, but then works also means that it produces a desired result. So it produces a desired result, and I mean them both ways today. Love is a task requiring effort, but there's a good result for the effort. Love works. Would you tell somebody next to you, love works? Love works. Thank God for the emotions we associate with love. You might say, we got that loving feeling. It's that warm. You get a little bit of the heart race going. You get a little bit of that, you know, whatever it might be called, infatuation. But thank God, there's a legitimate place for holy love, even in that physical realm, a little excitement and so forth. Thank God. But God's love, brothers and sisters, is not based on or limited by ever-changing human emotions. God's love is based on who he is. He is love. And if we know him today, if we have come to that place under God's conviction of just our sin and unbelief, and we come with simple, childlike, humble faith to receive Jesus as Lord, we are forgiven, and God's Holy Spirit indwells us. And because his Spirit indwells us, we too can choose to love by faith, even when we've lost that loving feeling. Y'all heard that song, right? I actually heard a testimony this week of, and if, this is the thing, if there's a couple, they have a worldwide marriage ministry today. It's called Marriage Today. But their testimony is, it was actually, they had come to the point of divorce. They were actually at the point of divorce, and God intervened, thank God, and saved their marriage, and actually has now used them to reach many, many all over the world. But they didn't have the feelings. They made a choice to start doing the things that eventually led to the feelings. But it was done because love works. It wasn't just love is a feeling. No, it's more than a feeling. We can get down to the word. Love is an action word, and love works. Yes, it requires effort, but man, the payoff is worth it. It works. It's a good result on our investment, a good return. The Bible says here in that verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring. Some translations may have it worded in different ways. I just want to give you a couple simple definitions from just, again, the original language of the thought here. It means to be eager and to make every effort. So when it says endeavoring, it's saying make every effort to protect the unity that God's Spirit has produced here. Make every effort to maintain the unity of God's Spirit because of your love for one another. And to be eager, here's what it literally means. It sees a need and promptly responds. So if I see someone and maybe their hands are full and something's getting ready to drop and maybe even something valuable and is getting ready to break, if I see that need, if I go and I immediately try to help out, that's this word endeavoring. Endeavoring to keep to protect, to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I want to read you this in the New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. The Bible says it this way, Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Wow. Would you turn to somebody and just please tell them, sometimes you just got to make allowance for me. That's right. Kim and I are saying that to you. Make allowance. Just make allowance. I want to do it. I'm not there yet. Verse 3, make every effort. Make every effort. Will you say it with me? Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. That's a good result, isn't it? If you work and you work and it produces unity and peace, isn't that worth it? Isn't it a blessing? Thank God. Love works. And there's a scripture over in Philippians 4. Again, we can just put it on the screen. It's Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, if you want to write the reference down. Again, I wanted to read it to you from the New Living Translation because this is so practical. There were a couple of ladies in the church, and it must have been somewhat well known that they had a little disagreement or something going on, because he writes to them and is basically brought up in front of the church and how to handle it the right way. Could you imagine that? Two people in church not getting along. No. Maybe not seeing everything eye to eye. But please, would you just listen as I read these verses, you follow along. See if you sense a father's heart in these words. He says in verse 2 of Philippians 4, now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, if that's even close to how you pronounce their name. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Do it because you're God's. You're sisters in Christ. I know you got a disagreement, but work, love works. Would you settle your disagreement? And then verse 3 says, and I ask you, my true partner, he was writing to someone there in the church. He said, help these two women. He says, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. And I want you to see how real that is. Here are two ladies, man, they're working hard, and they're helping this apostle, this man of God, share the good news with others, but they can't seem to get along in the family of God. But I wonder, the way it's worded here, if maybe they were taking on some things, and maybe that fueled a little bit of the contention. Because we've got to be wise, but Paul writes to them, he says, help them. Help them out. Don't stress them out. Don't wear them out. And let them settle their disagreement so we can move on. And so he says, help these two women. They've helped me in the good news. And he says, they worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Thank God, love works. Would you go back to Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 13 with me? Genesis chapter 13. I want to just share just the real life people, real life examples that are recorded for us here in the Word of God and how we can apply it to our lives today. Love works. One specific way love works is love works to resolve conflict. Love works to resolve strife. We're all human and we all have those times of disagreement. It doesn't make one, you know, necessarily evil, one righteous. But even as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can disagree about things. We won't see everything eye to eye. And so if there's strife or conflict in life, it's probably unavoidable. The issue is, how will we handle it? And to be able to handle it with God's wisdom and grace. And here's a great example here in Genesis chapter 13. The Bible says this, Genesis chapter 13, and I want to begin reading in verse 6. Genesis 13, 6, the scripture records these words. It says, now the land was not able to support them. This is Abram and his younger nephew Lot. And it says, the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. The possessions weren't really the issue, but they did have possessions, and in this case, it was used as a source of the conflict. So verse 7 says, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And I don't believe this next sentence was just kind of thrown in. Notice what it says. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Here are two men who are followers of God. They are the followers of God, and they're in strife, and it's in a public setting, and it says others were watching. So what? What difference would it make if we're in strife with a fellow believer and others see it on Facebook? Or in the church, or in the neighborhood, or in the workplace? What difference does it make if the church can get a black eye? So what difference does it make then how we settle those conflicts? The church can get a black eye. It means the damage of the reputation, maybe, or ministry of the church could be at least hindered. All right. What difference would it make for others to see how we resolve conflict? Anything else? Okay. Yes. Okay. How we handle it either spreads it to others or stops it. All right. Okay, is that okay? All right. It does affect our testimony, doesn't it? It affects our testimony. It may affect our effectiveness in ministry. And so it matters to the Lord. We only, have the one daughter here on earth with us, so we can't really relate to this necessarily on a personal level, but we can understand that some of you, maybe as parents or grandparents, and you have sometimes strife going on between your sons, daughters, sons, whatever the relation may be, and I'm sure it grieves your heart. I'm sure it grieves you. That's how God, can you imagine how his heart is grieved when we're not getting along? And in this culture, Abram, as the elder, he had the right to say, I'm making first choice. We're going to settle this, but I'm taking this nice area right here. But notice what he did, because love works. The Bible says this in verse 8. In verse 8, Abram said to Lot, notice he made the first move and he went to his younger nephew. He says, he said to Lot, verse 8, please let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. See, he says, we're brethren. It was already spread among them. And then he says also in verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Please, separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you take the right, I'll go to the left. Do you see how his love worked? Love worked to resolve that conflict. Love worked to resolve the strife and bring a peaceful resolution out of it. But brothers and sisters, love works. He put forth the effort. It worked, but it produced a good result. Now, notice what happened here. The Bible says this in verse 14. After he did that, he made that step, the Bible says, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you, and notice, to your descendants forever. Abram opened a greater blessing on his family because he was willing to do God's way in resolving conflict. Now, someone might say, well, he would have probably been blessed anyway. I'm sure there would have been a general blessing that could have been on Abram, but I don't believe that he would have experienced the fullness of God's blessing if he had not handled it God's way. He opened that door for God's blessing to come upon him and his descendants. Because love works. Love works. Would you turn to the New Testament book of Acts chapter 15? Acts chapter 15. And just as you're turning, let me get there with you. It's a myth to think that, well, if we really love each other, we'll never have to work at it. Why y'all laughing? I saw that. It was on the Hallmark movie channel. No, it wasn't.
And some people, maybe some younger people, when they're in that feeling, I get it, man. You probably feel like, oh, we just get along so well. We just love each other. We never have to work anything out. Or just stay together for a few years. No, brothers and sisters, we work because we love. And the relationship is valuable to us, and the person is valuable to us. And so we work because love works. If you want to just write this reference down before we look at that second account of resolution here in Acts 15, would you just write this scripture down? We can put it on the screen. It's found in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says, whoever keeps God's word, truly the love of God is perfected or matured in him. By this we know that we are in Christ. So when we choose to do God's word, then he says that's showing that you have the love of God, and God's love is being perfected. It's being matured in you. Brothers and sisters, when we choose to love by faith, regardless of what our feelings are telling us, it's an opportunity that we've just given ourselves to grow in Christ's likeness. Because when we exercise our faith, we grow. And that's God's will for every one of us. Again, Christ's likeness is God's purpose and will for every one of his sons and daughters. Then he says this over in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He says, beloved, loved ones, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one is seeing God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us. And then notice again, his love has been or is being perfected in us. So it's those times when we make allowance for someone else's faults because of our love. It's those times when we bear with one another because of love. It's those times when we make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace that our love is matured and perfected, and we grow more like Jesus. If we never had an opportunity to express our faith that way, we could hinder God's growth in our lives. He knows, I'm not saying we can't put ourselves out in unwise relationships. Yes, we can. We can make decisions that are not wise. We can actually make foolish decisions. We can get involved in relationships that are more harmful than helpful. But God will allow some things into our lives to help us grow in Christ. I'm not saying he ordains evil. I'm saying even in the best situation, right in the center of God's perfect will, he will allow some people, he will allow some situations into our lives where we respond by faith and love. Do you see why we need God's love and his power? That's why he opened up that section with that prayer. We need God's love, but we need his power in order to live it out and to grow in Christ's likeness. In Acts chapter 15, there's a situation here where the believers really had a big dispute. It says in verse number 2, Acts chapter 15, verse 2, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, no small. Let me tell you how it's actually translated in another translation. It says, they were arguing vehemently. They were arguing vehemently. I remember a brother years ago saying he and his wife had been married however many years, and he said, we are married still because when we got married, we decided whenever we have a disagreement, we're going to sit down and reason things out. And he said, we've been heard for blocks down the street reasoning things out. But they were still together. Thank God. Love works. So he says in verse 2 again, it says that they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. That's a key right there. And Brother Mark, you bring it up often. Come, let us reason together. They were willing to at least, they were in disagreement, but because they were willing to at least come together to work on this, they could move forward. If they weren't willing to come together, it would never have been resolved. And it hinders ministry. So at least they were willing to come together And verse 6 says, the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Then verse 15, just for time, I want to drop down here a little bit. It says, and because they went, you know, back and forth, again, very practical. They were willing to not only come together, they were willing to tell what was on their mind, their point of view, but they were also willing to listen. That's so important. It's so important. Our view is not the only view. And even if someone else is wrong, it helps us relate better if we know where they're coming from. So there's love works. There's a willingness to listen. And because they were able to come to a point of agreement. Notice what the Bible says here. Again, verse 15, it says, and with this, the words of the prophets agree just as it is written. You know why they were able to come to a point of agreement? Because first of all, they submitted themselves to the authority of God's word. The truth of God's word, they invited in to address this matter. But then it goes on later in that chapter in verse 28. They're still talking about it. And it says in verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So they not only submitted themselves to the authority of God's word, they submitted themselves to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. And how do you take that eternal truth and apply it to the present need? Love works. Would you tell somebody next to you, love works? They were willing to come together. And then notice in verse 30, the Bible says this, because really it wrapped up by saying, hey, if you keep yourselves from idolatry and immorality, you're doing good. Let's come to that place of agreement. Verse 30 says, so when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter, and notice the results. When they read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Love works. Here was something that could have taken place that could have spread like a cancer through the early church and hindered the gospel in even reaching us years later. But because they were willing to come together, willing to talk, willing to listen, submit to God's word and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we have reaped the benefits too, just as they did back in that day. Love works. I know someone said, a bulldog can take a skunk in a fight any day. But it's not always worth the stink. And may God give us wisdom in our relationships to choose our battles wisely. And it's not wise or healthy for our relationships to make every possible issue a matter of contention and conflict. At the same time, I don't like dealing with conflict. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's just me. But if we avoid coming together and working together in something that threatens our unity, because it's uncomfortable, we forfeit any opportunity we have to work together to resolve the issue and grow together in the Lord. Uncomfortable, yes, but are we willing? Love works. Again, it produces a good result. If something is genuinely threatening our relationship, whether it's a family member, church, whatever it may be, if something's attacking our unity, we need to see that as a danger and not just kind of sweep it under the rug and not deal with it, but go to and in love and seek to work this thing out so that we can resolve it and move forward. Again, now, hey, some things is wise to overlook. Make allowance for each other's faults. Bear with one another in love, but don't let anything steal the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Love works. One more, right after they resolve the conflict, they send the word out on the report. Man, we're rejoicing, they've come together. We found a point of agreement and unity. Hallelujah. They were saying love works, in a sense. And right after this, two of the leaders, well, let's look. Still in Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Acts 15:36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, now they've been on a mission trip. They've started churches. They've led people to Jesus. They've seen miracles. I mean, just God is moving powerfully. And they want to go back and visit the churches where they established. They get together. They said, hey, let's go back and visit our brothers in every place, every city where we preach the word of the Lord. See how they're doing, man. We want to check on them. And now Barnabas was determined to take with them John. He's the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. And Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them and had not gone with them to the work. Here is a young brother. He goes out on the first mission trip, but something happened, and he ended up going back home. He didn't carry on. He didn't continue with the trip. And now Barnabas, he was called the son of encouragement. That was his nickname. He wants to take this young brother and say, hey, yeah, let's go back. And Mark said, no. Paul said, nope, we're not taking him. He deserted us. We don't need extra baggage on the trip. We got enough to contend with. And Barnabas said, no, he's a good brother. We need to take him. And Paul said, no, we're not taking him. And Barnabas said, yes, we're taking him. And Paul said, no, we're not. And yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. And notice what the Bible says in verse 39. The contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Isn't that something? They parted from one another. Barnabas, he ended up taking Mark. He went to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, and he went up. They both went out on the mission trips, but they went separate. Now, thank God, they did not allow resentment to build. Because, brothers and sisters, that's another danger. If we do not deal with something that threatens our unity because it's uncomfortable, resentment isn't comfortable either. And we can open up our heart and allow resentment to build and eat away at us. Thank God they didn't. They kept their heart right. They continued to serve the Lord, and they've mended their ways. The reason I know that is because 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, this same man, Paul, who said, you're not going, he writes, he knows his life is almost over. He's getting ready to be executed for his faith in Jesus. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11 says, he's writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy, and he says, do your best to come here with me because everyone's left me. It's cold here. Hey, bring my coat in this dungeon. And he said, only Luke is with me. Oh, and get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. The word is profitable. Isn't that something? Do you see how, because they kept their heart right, they were able to resolve it? Because love works. He said, hey, get that young man. He's a good brother. He's helpful in ministry. Will you bring him too? Don't you love seeing that? I thank God for that encouragement and that blessing. If you're there in Acts, I want to just read one more scripture. I'll close Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Because I said earlier, we need God's wisdom in our relationships. Honestly, there are some relationships we would be wise to invest in, and there are some relationships we would be wise to avoid. The scripture gives us counsel about who we really allow into our heart. And we're to befriend everyone. We're to be kind, show the love of Jesus to everyone, but we are not necessarily to be close to everyone in a way that we give our heart and we become unequally yoked together in such a way that could take us away from our closeness with the Lord. We want to be wise because love works. And the Bible says this. I'll begin reading in verse 16. We'll close with this. Love works. Romans chapter 12, verse number 16. It says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Man, that would solve a lot of conflict right there. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, would you say that with me? If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's why I said earlier, the Bible is practical, man, it's livable. God knows we can't get along with some people.
Because they're not willing. And we cannot fulfill someone else's responsibility to work together to resolve an issue. God only calls us to do our part, but we can do our part. And that's all he says. As much as lies within you, if it's possible, get along. Live at peace with everyone. And then he says in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Love works. It requires effort, doesn't it? Love requires effort, but it produces a good result. If nothing else, it gives God glory, and that's a good result. But it can help us to grow in Christ-likeness. It can help us to grow in, to be effective in ministry and reaching others. And Lord knows it's a benefit if we walk in harmony and unity and peace together. Love produces a good result. I was reading a devotion. I have several I read during the week. I've been reading one for years. It's called Daily Guideposts. And as I was, sometimes I just see God's hand in the timing of things. And I was working on this message this week. I just thinking about it and trying to think of examples in the scripture, people who work through conflict and so forth, and how we can live it out, you know, make it relatable to our lives. And one of the devotions actually talked about the work in a relationship. And it's a lady named Julia Attaway. She lives up in New York. And over the years, as I've read this devotion, the people share their personal, you know, like their life stories and so forth. So you get to know them in a sense. And I know she's been through a very difficult time. Her husband used to contribute to the guideposts as well, but he battled clinical depression for years. They have a daughter, I believe it is. They have several children, but also battling clinical depression, get off their medicine and have to be put into a hospital, and even the medical personnel giving up on them. And she continuing to walk with the Lord, to try to write and be a blessing to others, and work for her family because love works. Going, like some people might say, the extra mile. I wanted to just read a little bit of a testimony that she wrote that was on Thursday's devotion of this week in that book. She said, activation, interacting with something other than one's own dark thoughts is a pivotal strategy in breaking the grip of depression. Because what happened is, her husband has actually gotten out of the apartment now, and or out of the house, and he's involved in classes 3 evenings a week or 3 days a week. And she was like, praising the Lord, he's out of the house, thank God. He's involved, he's interacting again. It's like we can actually see some light at the end of the tunnel after over 10 years of going through this just trying time, a trying season. She wrote those words, and this is what she said. It was therapy, medication for him just to be able to step back out into the world again. His illness isolated him, made him unable to work, and almost destroyed our marriage. She says, the worst, in for better or for worse, was evident every day. In the midst of that much pain, both Andrew's and mine, it became hard, please listen to this, it became hard to honor the we more than the me. We walked this road of marriage putting one foot in front of the other, one prayer after the next, with no assurance that it will all work out. I know I may need to do the bulk of the walking and the praying. That's okay. It's like she writes this to her husband. I love you, Andrew. In whatever imperfect way I can, you, Andrew, love me in every imperfect way you are able. The good Lord loves us both perfectly, eternally, and unselfishly. But here's what she says as she wraps it up. There's nothing about the distribution of the work of love that's equal or fair. There's nothing about the distribution of the work of love. She might have said, well, I did my 50%. I'm out of here, buddy. But she kept love works. I'm not saying someone should stay in an abusive situation. I'm not saying that at all.
I'm simply saying sometimes it's not always, it just needs grace and working through moment by moment, day after day, one step at a time, one prayer at a time, one step at a time, one prayer at a time. Brothers and sisters, here is the last thing she writes. She says, there's nothing fair about the distribution of the work of love, but it's all mostly God's. She recognized where her help came from. If we know Jesus in the forgiveness of our sins today, it's because love works. If we're enjoying fellowship with the Lord in our day-to-day lives, it's because love works. If we want to reach others with the good news and we want to bless others, it's because love works. Love works to resolve conflict. Love works to resolve strife and come to a point of agreement. There's power in agreement. Love works to help a child with their homework. Love works to help a spouse when they're not feeling well. Love works to help a loved one when they're bedridden or whatever the case may be, because love works. I want to ask you today, will you open your heart to Jesus and invite his love to work in you and through you, so that you can be blessed, but so that you can also be a blessing and experience the fullness of God's will and his grace? Love works. Can we stand together?